Almighty God, gracious Heavenly Father, there is no secret that can be kept from you. There is no plan that can come to pass without your knowing, your approving, your permitting. Therefore, Lord, we stand here by your grace, because you have permitted us to stand here tonight. You predestinated and ordained the ones that you have permitted to be here.
Yes.
And we have gathered here, Father, with our purpose that your name would be glorified and your Son honored, and that your people might be blessed, your kingdom strengthened, and that each joint here will supply, that we can better together be a better equipped people, more able ministers, more strengthened, Lord, that we might accomplish your great purpose in this hour that we're living in. Gathered here also our elders, pastors, ministers, Lord, and we know the responsibility that is upon their soul.
Amen.
We're not here, Lord, just to see one another, even though it's so wonderful to see the believers and to feel their kindred spirit and to feel so comfortable and relaxed in their presence. But our main objective, Father, for being here is for you to meet with us and you to speak to us in such a way that we would go back to our countries, Lord, edified, more able to take on the task that is wherever you have planted us, and Lord, that we might be able to bring forth much fruit unto your honor and your glory. We're thankful for the men that are here, the musicians, realizing that we've started late, Lord. Pray that you will bless them also for taking the time, the effort, the energy. Bless their efforts, Father. Reward them, is my prayer. And every brother, sister, every child, everyone that is here for these meetings, may a great hush of the Holy Spirit come and calm us, relax us. Let us so bathe in the Holy Spirit's great grace and love that we can minister to one another in grace and be salty. Let us create such an atmosphere of agape love that we think not about ourselves but how we can do something for someone here. May your great Spirit come upon us, Lord, tonight. Spirit of wisdom and Spirit of revelation, cause us, Lord, to realize how little we are. For in knowing how little we are, we can humble ourselves, knowing how great you are. We're thankful, Father, to be used of you. Each and every one here, every minister, their greatest blessing is to be used of you, to be a tool in your hands, that you might use us to accomplish something for your people, for your kingdom, for your glory tonight. As we commit this service opening here, we're remembering, God, the efforts of the many who, Lord, will mention along the way, that sacrificed in so many different ways to have this meeting here tonight. We commit ourselves from the pulpit down to the very least and the littlest of child into your great hands, Father. We ask it, dear Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you tonight. Before I let you sit, I'd just like to maybe invite you to a portion of scripture. And I'm going to use this Esau here. And I'm going to ask you to read with me. 1 Corinthians 8 and the 6th verse. And also, we want to read also Deuteronomy 6 and 4. And it says like this, I'm going to read from the The fourth verse. As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there is none other God but one. This is the Apostle Paul. He is born into the Jewish faith. And he says, forgive me, my eyes sometimes stray. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him. And Paul is introducing here, in the language, even though he's speaking of one God, he says, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Paul, speaking here, is confirming what Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Are we seeing this?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sure that we were looking at this.
Okay.
Yeah, wait one second before you do that. I'm thinking that the war might be a lot better.
All right. No.
Forgive us. And we'll definitely not need lights. Forgive me, I should have looked back there. I didn't. Yeah, okay. Should I read the scriptures over again? I'll let you be seated, okay? You may be seated. Hear, O Israel. I can do it like this, no problem. We'll get the king's look up. Very good, thanks. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, Jehovah, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Amen? May the Lord, who has already blessed his word, bless our hearts with it and give us understanding that we may be able better to address him and to worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm not going to take too much time here. Tomorrow, we'll take the time to greet each and every one, but we are starting late, and I want to use all my time as best as possible so that we can achieve as much as we can from these meetings. The meetings are set up in such a way that I start with the simplest of points, and we work ourselves all the way up to what I consider to be someone who is coming to such a state where he is totally in the same mind and the same state that Brother William Branham was concerning God and Christ. And that's what we want. We want to achieve, we want to come to a place that where what he thinks, the way he thinks, how he saw things, that's what we want to see. We don't want to look through the eyes of ourselves. We want to look through the eyes of that prophet.
Yes.
And if we can look through his eyes and understand what he was seeing and what he was saying, then we don't have to worry about what anybody else do or say or think.
That's right.
And so everything that we plan to do is mostly going to be reading, because by reading what he's saying, we are asking to be in the same spirit and to look and examine these statements of the prophet in line with scriptures. Alright? Alright, so first of all, also, let me say this, that there is going to arise questions in your mind. If you've been in the message a very long time, then these meetings in the beginning, at least the first two, is going to cause you a lot of discomfort. And the reason for that It's because the longer you've been in a message, is more material you become aware of.
Right.
And you have already sowed what we consider to be doctrines.
Yeah.
So doctrinal concepts have already been sown in your heart. Now, we are going to have a question and answer series on Sunday before the meeting closes. And so write your questions down, and then you can give it that morning, Sunday morning, because I'll break the service into two halves. Still try. I know some people need to get out of here early.
Right.
And we'll break that down, and then I'll have your questions and address them. But there is no doubt that as I speak, your questions are going to rise, and the meetings are designed as we travel along the way, your questions should be answered. A good teacher is one who presents a doctrine that has already been questioned in his mind. If there is a question in a doctrine that has not been addressed, then the doctrine has no right to be taught.
Right.
It must stand the test. And if it doesn't stand the test, while if the preacher looks at the concept and he himself does not question the different concepts, whether it's in violation or whether it's along in the right precept, then that man is careless. And he has no right to present doctrines that have not been tried or tested.
Amen.
Is that right? So tonight, let's just believe that as we go along, just write your questions down. And I guarantee that the Lord along the way, these are the messages of the messenger, will answer those questions that are in your heart. Alright? So we're going to start, and I appreciate the ones who have already been enlightened to the aspect of the capstone revelation. I appreciate you being here, but you have to pray for us and bear with us, because I'm going to do this subject like if nobody has ever heard it. Alright? And if you are an elder or you're a minister, I'm going to ask questions and I'm going to say things that might make you uncomfortable. I'm in no way saying that you are wrong or bad or there's nothing like that. We do this because in each one of us we have strongholds. From the minute I say something, there's a stronghold, a doctrine that's there, and sometimes you have to destroy the stronghold before you can get the person to listen. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not meant to hurt anyone. It's not meant to disrespect any minister.
Right.
And we are not saying that we know it all. We're just saying this is a measure God has given us. We want to share it with you. And there's no doubt that there's measures in your that you have that you can share with us. All right, along the way. Okay, shall we start?
Amen.
All right. God bless you. And may God be with us. And may God help us. Let me know if this is big enough. Is this big enough, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, let's start off first. Can I put this down? Can I put this down or do I need it? All right. Now, number one. Brother Branham was the Elijah of the day. There's nobody in this room that can question that. Is that right? He is the Elijah of today. And he has been vindicated thoroughly, identified in the Word that he was that promised one that was to come on the earth before the earth is cursed. Is that right? He was to be that promised one that was to come to the earth, lest God strike the earth with a curse. So him coming, the Elijah coming, brings a measure of grace to us to hold back the wrath of God until a people can come to the fulfillment of the promise of this hour of manifested sons of God. Now with that comes this promise in the book of Daniel. In the last days they shall know their God.
Amen.
And do great exploits.
Yes.
Is that right? Now, I want you to know that that scripture does not start with you and I. That scripture starts with Brother William Branham.
Amen.
He is Elijah. And like Elijah of old, he knew his God.
Right.
Elijah of old knew his God. He knew who to call on.
Mm.
But everyone else outside of Elijah did not know that God.
Amen.
And he asked the question, if Baal be God, then serve Baal. If Jehovah be God, then serve Jehovah. But don't be alternating between two opinions. So in this hour that we are living in, we know for a fact that the knowledge of the true God does not start with an individual of like you and I. It starts with the Elijah of the hour. He is the one who unveiled the mighty God. He is the one who said, who is this Melchizedek? He is the one who said, the unrecognized presence of God. The mighty God unveiled.
Yes.
Therefore, there is only one person who has fulfilled that scripture to this point, and that was the one who is our Elijah of the hour.
Yes.
Is that right?
Exactly.
And in the days of Elijah, the world was deceived. The entire world was deceived except for Elijah and 7,000 who had not bowed their knees to Baal. Now, if Israel was deceived, how much more the pagan world? And I say to this, if in this message of the hour, the majority is deceived, how much more the denominational world? We must place ourselves in the position that Elijah was in the days of kings. And we must see that God does not change. Spirit does not change.
Amen.
The conditions does not change.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Because that which has been is that which shall be.
Amen.
That's what the scripture tells us.
Amen.
There is nothing new under the sun. I say to you, that if there is an Elijah today, it's because the world did not know their God. And if there is Elijah today, then he is the first to know his God. And he did great exploits.
That's right.
He was the first to fulfill that scripture. And I believe that there is going to be 7,000. I'm tight. I'm not saying 7,000 number. Who will know their God.
Amen.
For these titles of these messages. The mighty God unveiled, the unveiling of God. Christ revealed in his own word. See? Who is this Melchizedek? There is a people who is going to come to that revelation.
Amen.
Now, you could be in a message a very long time. The message is designed in such a way to blind the eyes of the non-elect in the message.
Exactly.
And to anoint the eyes of the elect that they might see.
Exactly. Come on.
The message is designed only for the elect.
That's right.
In the rapture message, the prophet of God said, the rapture is only for the bride.
Yes, that's true.
You cannot make yourself bride.
Yeah.
Then he makes another statement. To the bride, the rapture is a revelation.
Yes.
Sure.
Now you might say, well, I need that revelation. He's not telling you that. What he's telling you, the bride, to the bride, the rapture is a revelation, because revelation does not lie in human beings.
Right.
Revelation comes from God.
Amen.
Therefore, it is a sovereign work of God to reveal himself to his bride and no one else.
Amen.
And you can be in the very message of the hour, believe it, love it, live it, and still not know him.
Amen.
That's the frightening part.
Sure.
And tonight, I want to build a case, just build a case so that we can continue on tomorrow. We don't have much time. We started already, and I'm 7:20, 8:20, 9:20 is finished. 9:20? I say 9:20 because I take 10 minutes to wind down. All right, I know you're tired, I know you're hungry. But the one thing, each one of you made an investment to be here.
Amen.
Each one of you have put in hours, time, money, your inconveniences. Let us not waste that time. Let us not just come to a convention and get, it's not really a convention, come to this little meeting and leave with nothing. I intend to work.
Yeah.
I intend to give all that I have, and I intend for you to ask everything that you could.
Yeah.
Because if this concept is wrong, then your questions will destroy it.
Yeah.
And anything that cannot stand up to questioning by the word of God has no right to be spoken to the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If there was an Elijah, there must be Baal worship. Is that right?
That's right.
Spirits don't die. They take on different names. But they do not die. And the prophet taught us that Baal worship is creation and creature worship.
Yes, sir.
Baal was the sun god, the god of fertility. His wife was Astaroth, the moon. So Baal was represented in heaven as the sun. His wife was represented as the moon. But on earth, Baal was represented as the golden calf. I can't hear you. He was represented as the golden calf. And Elijah was connected with Baal worship. He was against it. He came against it. I want you to know also that we had an exodus this hour.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes,
and in this exodus, there's a mixed multitude.
Yeah.
And these people that came out from Egypt or denomination went back and built a golden calf. Soon as Moses left.
Yeah.
Amen. They went back to Baal worship.
Yes.
You cannot beat your type.
Yeah.
You cannot tell me. Amen. That we have a Moses. We have two poles. Like Moses. We had a pillar of fire. The angel of the Lord. The angel of the covenant. You had an exodus. You have redemption by blood. You have redemption by power. You can't tell me that you are the church and not see Israel in the same type.
Yeah.
And when they came out, they went back to Baal worship. And they even got the priests, the fivefold ministers.
Sure. Sure.
And threatened them. We're going to leave, you know. If you preach this doctrine, you're gone. We want our old Jesus back. You see? And if there is an Elijah, there must be Baal worship. And if there is an Elijah, there must be Baal priest.
Amen.
And there must be Baal ministries. Is that right? There must be Jezebel. If we are Elijah, there must be a Jezebel for him to identify. There must be Jezebel daughters.
Amen.
To be identified. There must be a Zedekiah the Pope to be identified.
Amen.
There must be 400 prophets of the Ecumenical Council to identify a union.
Sure. Amen.
There must be. There must be a lukewarm Ahab to be identified. You can't tell me that all these other things are true, but there is no Baal worship. That's it. I know most of your ministers and most of you have been in the message a long time, so I'm not going to take your time. You know the types. There must be a Jezebel, who is the mother of the Catholic Church, identified with the beast system, satanic system. And the heart of the Catholic Church is the doctrine that comes out from Nicaea.
Amen.
That three unclean spirits, like frogs, anoints every age to look back to Nicaea, which is the Trinity. Then you have Jezebel's daughters, who is the image of the beast. And they are the oneness worshippers. They are the Protestants and the twins in the message. You say, can there be? That's what we are here for. We are here for the Lord to help the elect to anoint their eyes to see that in the very message of the hour that there is another daughter that Satan doesn't want you to see.
Yes.
The prophet of God said, in every revival produces a twin.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
So in the days of Luther, there was a twin. And that twin of the Lutheran was the first daughter of the harlot.
Amen.
In the days of Wesley, there was a twin. And that was the second daughter of the harlot.
Right.
In the day of Pentecost, there was a twin. And that was the third daughter of the harlot. Most people believe the harlot only had three daughters, but I'm here to tell you she had a fourth daughter. Amen. Because the seventh thunder produced a bright revival.
Amen.
And if there is not a twin, then the prophet quote is false. Amen. There is another daughter among us.
Amen.
Let me show you. Luther protested the Catholic Church. But he had a lot of the mother still in him. But God interceded for the ignorance. But the age of Luther, he was a Trinitarian. You can't say he knew his God. That's an end time scripture in the last days. Because in the last days there will be a prophet like Elijah unveiling the mighty God.
Amen.
So God interceded for his ignorance. In the day of Wesley, he was a Trinitarian. God interceded for his ignorance. In the Pentecostal age, they were Trinitarians and oneness. I'm going to show you the quote in a minute. The oneness doctrine started the same time as the Trinity from Nicaea. It started at the same time. Except the Catholic Church suppressed the oneness doctrine because they are the mother of harlots, idolatry, and the Trinity was the preeminent doctrine of the Old Testament, polytheism. That's what the prophet taught us. I want you to notice something here. It's very important. That the doctrine of the oneness was not in Wesley age. It was not in Luther age. It was suppressed because the Catholic Church still had so much power. But in 1906, when the age began of Laodicea, when the Pentecostal age began, we found a rebirth.
All right.
A rebirth of the oneness. Because it's the oneness doctrine that is so close to the real doctrine, it deceives the very elect if possible.
Amen.
I don't. Do we need that? Do we need the lights?
Oh,
it's streaming. Okay, no problem. Let there be lights. How many understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
All right. So now, the oneness doctrine came in the last age because in the last age, God was going to reveal Himself. And God needs, I'm going to say it this way, God needs something to draw the non-elect in the message. I know that's bad to say, but that's how it is, because God is only interested in His elect.
Amen.
So He says things in a certain way that something can have two different meanings. He wrote it that it can have two different meanings, like God so loved the world. He said, "If His only begotten Son." God don't love the world. Because in John 17, He said, "I pray not for the world."
Yeah.
That whosoever believeth. You can't believe that He caused you to believe. Is that right? And He said, "No man can come to me unless my Father draw him." In the same book of John. See, the world that God loves is Adam, Eve, and Eden. The Bible said, God destroying the old world, the world of the ungodly in the days of Noah. So there's an ungodly world and a godly world. Noah was part of the godly. And as it was in the days of Noah, there's got to be a world that's godly.
Amen.
That's who God loves. Written in such a way that you could be take a concordance and run where God loves everybody. But He doesn't. Jacob I love, Esau I hate, before the children were ever born. So also in the message of the hour, the prophet is permitted to say things. Because it's not what he says, it's how he fits the doctrine.
Amen.
How what he says fits in the doctrine. You do not make a doctrine from a statement.
Yeah.
It's here a little, here a little, precept upon precept, line upon line. Never take a doctrine or make a doctrine out of two statements.
Amen.
For instance, and that's showing you one thing, how close it is. He designed it that way. He allowed the prophet to speak it that way. The prophet said, "Oh, brother, you believe the message? You believe the prophet? You believe any man have a right to interpret the message?
No.
You should believe it just as he said it. The prophet is the divine interpreter. Is that true, Brother?
Yes, Brother.
But here the prophet says, you also die in which you're useful. Wait a minute, now you have two souls. I just built a doctrine on a statement. Because I've got touch by the Lord.
Yeah.
But also, the man who quoted Jesus said, we heard this man say, quotation, destroy the temple in 3 days I'll build it up. The Bible called him quoted. They said exactly what he said. Because God is not interested in what you say, he's interested in the concept that he propagated. Because the word means concept.
Mm-hmm.
It means logos. You can say the same word and have the wrong concept of what it means. And God called you false. So he said, oh, the old soul died and new soul. See? But he also said, the way he redeems man, he redeems the earth. And he said, I see a new heaven and a new earth. He said, it's not another heaven, not another. It's the same one burnt with fire.
Hey.
So, a new soul does not mean another one.
Amen.
Is that right? Because then they would mean it would not be redemption, it would be replacement. Right? If he said the Bible became a new book, and I hope you're going to see, it was not in, not new doesn't mean another. It's the same Bible. Amen. But we are anointed differently.
Amen.
Is that right? So he spoke it in such a way that his statements can have diverse meaning. And they all seem to make sense. Seems logical and reasonable. But God is never logical and he's never reasonable.
Right.
Logic and reason is for man. See? There must be a Jezebel. And from the Jezebel, there comes the Trinity doctrine from the beast. And then from her daughters come the Trinity and the image of the beast. So in the last days, the Trinity and oneness takes over the world. In this world that we live in, that Elijah came in, the world was either Trinity or oneness.
Amen.
Every denomination, check that. Now, whatever Elijah is against determines what is Baal and Baal worship. Isn't that true? Because he comes against Baal. 100 years ago. So if I can determine what our Elijah was against, I can tell you what is Baal worship. I can tell you who's Baal priest. I can tell you where's the Baal's altars. And I can tell you the churches that are the high places of Baal that the people go to worship. All I need to know is what our Elijah today was against. All I need to know is what Moses, when he came down from the mountain, found. A golden calf.
Yes, sir.
Baal worshippers.
Amen.
All I need to know is what is Baal pure. Because that is what Moses, God destroyed the children of Israel for, was Baal pure. That says we are all one. Is that right? That's why it's a small group. Because we are not all one in the message. I cannot fellowship a two soul. If I put my hand around a two soul preacher, go out and eat with him and put him on my pulpit and give him an offering from God tithing, I'm saying work against God. Go ahead, keep on preaching.
Yes.
Go ahead, keep on killing people.
Yes.
After all, you're a man of God. I can't do that. So let's see what our Elijah was against. His own words, Abraham's covenant. No, sir, I'm not a oneness, not at all. I'm not Trinity either. And the world is either oneness or Trinity. What else is there? Two-ness? There's oneness, there's Trinity. And two is wrong. There's no such thing as two God. There's no Bible for it. So the world is deceived by either oneness or Trinity. Now I know when you come to the message, you were just glad that you were not a Trinity. Trinity is wrong. Trinity is of the devil. What you did not know, you ran right into the other end.
Come on.
And of course, the preacher who came out didn't know that either.
Yeah.
See, that's right. Book says, are we Elijah against oneness or a Trinity? Oneness and Trinity is Baal creation worship.
Sure.
I'm going to prove it to you. In the message of grace, the prophet of God said, now my Christian friends, and these tapes here that's been made were spread across the world. Let me ask you something. You who try to make God to be three gods, or you who try to make him one like your finger. Who's that he's talking to? He's talking to the world. At that time, when Brother Branham was preaching that, no one knew their God except Elijah.
Amen.
No one. Tell me who did. Who was saying the Trinity is wrong and the one is wrong? Tell me a preacher who was saying those things. Not one. So the world was deceived just like in the days of Elijah.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I deceived the world. Well, who deceived them? Who deceived them? Read a scripture for you. You say, oh, Brother Tony, no. These scriptures have to be fulfilled at some time. When will they be fulfilled? It's not another age. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived God. He deceived what? When will that happen? When will that happen? It has already happened. The whole world lies in wickedness. That's why he has to destroy it. But there is going to be a class that types the 7,000 who will not bow their knees to Baal.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
They're not going to be a oneness and they're not going to be a Trinitarian.
Yeah. Glory.
Now if you have come to the message, whether you're preacher, elder, I don't care what you are, but you're here tonight, that means that God is interested in you, or you are interested in God.
Yes.
But it's better for God to be interested in you.
Yes.
Somehow you're here by God's grace. And I'm here. And like you, I was always also a Baal worshipper. Even in the very message of the hour.
Yes.
We were all deceived. Yes. Idol worshippers. But the key point of this, listen. Like you, I know it is not also.
Amen.
So if you, like me, never knew what a oneness is. If you don't know what a oneness is, if your preacher never taught you what a oneness is, how do you know you're not one? You can say, oh, I'm not a oneness. How do you, if you don't know what a oneness is, how do you know you're not one? See, that's a fair question, isn't it? Now, you know, I speak like this passionately, not because, but because I was there. I was there. And I know that you can think that you are in this message. You could think that you know this message and be as blind as a bat, yet you can quote me quotes. You could be lost and still love this message, love this prophet, believe him to be a prophet. Believing him to be a prophet does not give you a birth.
No.
No. Let me give you a scripture. You know, I'm making a case. I'm trying to make a case because if I don't get your attention that this is serious, then guess what's going to happen?
You're going to lose your attention.
Right.
See? And I don't want to lose your attention. Right? I want to keep your attention. I want, because I believe that God has given me something to share for you.
Amen.
Right? And so, you can believe this message. You can live it. You can love it. And still be unconverted and lost. And not know it.
Here's what the prophet says. The Jude. Writing here. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who are old, ordained to this covenant, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God, was Paul said there's only one God, one Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who in the message talks like that? Nobody.
Nobody in the message talks like that.
He says, men crept in unawares in the message that they were in. How did they creep in unawares? They come in as preachers. Because the prophet said, turn in the grace of God. He said, that's the scriptures. That's the Bible. Who can do that? Not the lay members. And how they come in unawares? They come in preaching. You women, amen, you better keep this message clean. And you better wear those long dresses. And you better do this. And you better do that. And who's going to question that? Oh, they love the message. Oh, they love holiness. And they get you to swallow a camel.
But here, their problem was they were denying the true God and His Son.
Notice that? That was really their problem. And look what the problem is in the book of Jude. This is the Exodus class. This is the class with the pillar of fire, the token Moses. Amen. Triples. I will put you there for remembrance, though you once knew that. How the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. You see, when you come out from denomination, you are only saved from denomination, but you are not saved with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Believing a prophet creates faith, but not faith to save. It's the message that follows. It's the doctrine that follows.
Yes.
That's the word of truth that quickens you.
Amen.
And seals you until the day of redemption.
Amen.
Born by the incorruptible seed by the word of God.
Amen. Amen.
That is what. After you hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, not the message, not the messenger, I mean. The people who came out with Moses never went back in denomination, but yet they all died. And Jesus said, they're everyone dead.
Mm.
Under the very message of the pillar of fire, the regime.
Wow.
People in this message believe they are safe because they are a message church. They are safe because they love the prophet. They are safe because they believe that he is vindicated prophet and the message is true. That does not save you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It's the doctrine. Paul says it this way. Chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians. He says, meditate on these things. Amen. And continue in the doctrine,
yes,
as you've been taught. And in so doing, you'll save yourself and them that hear you.
Exactly.
See? They're denying the only Lord God alone. Therefore, I put you in remembrance. See? What is that class? Who is this class? The Exodus class that is not in denomination. Yet, he destroys it. Amen. Watch again. Let me show you one more. Is that okay? I'm not going to rush. I'm going to take my time, alright? When I rush, I leave a lot of things out. And then, it's not to your advantage. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us? Notice. What happened? A mixed what? That is who followed the Exodus. That is who came out in the message. Two soul people didn't become that way. They were always that way. Do you understand? You didn't become that way. Are you saying the message gives license for false doctrine? But they were always that way. They were men of old, ordained to this condemnation. You see? Again. Let us look at Elijah. Who do you say this is 1964? I've got thousands of good Trinity friends. They're in that Babylon. I got a lot of wondrous friends in that Babylon too. Wow. Now what is Babylon? Babylon is confusion that comes from the daughters and the mother. And in the days of Elijah, the whole world was Baal worshippers. The world. I know you say in the message, we don't worship Baal. But somebody has to be. Somebody has to, because we have an Elijah. Our Elijah is the angel of Revelation 14 and 9. Warning the false worship of the Trinity and the oneness, the beast, which is the Catholic Trinity doctrine, church and doctrine, and the image of the beast, which is the Protestant, the oneness and Trinity doctrine. Here's our Elijah. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. Now this is where the problem comes in. Can you be in a message church and take the mark of the beast? Can you be in a message church? Okay, I'm going to put it this way. In Moses' church, can there be them that the plague fell upon? Can it be in Moses' church that judgment fell on them that followed the message and messenger?
Yes, sir.
Can it be that Moses had to fall on God, that's before God, to spare their life? And say, take my life. Or block me out of my name from the book you have. And God never said, I will do it. God said, I will do what I will do. Into my book. I'm not going to change my mind. No, I'm not going to do it. I will judge them, I'll visit them in the third and fourth generation, and I will destroy them. You see, the word worship, the beast and the image of the beast, and the mark of the beast, seems to be so far away from the bride. We could never be that. We are exempt from it. But let me examine what the mark in the head is. The mark on the forehead is revelation. If you have a revelation of Baal in your head, you are marked. And your worship will reflect your wrong revelation. That's the work of your hands. A man with two soul doctrine, it has it in his forehead. And he goes about preaching, acting, praying, doing, living. He's not. He just doesn't know it. Because it's in your head, the prophet said, that's your knowledge, that's your revelation. Mm-hmm. Your hand is what you do with that revelation. It is the deed. So they feel exempt. I'm a message church. After all, this pastor's been here for so long. He lives right. He quotes every day. He quotes the prophet. You can quote every day, but if your concept is wrong,
yes, sir,
then you are guilty.
That's true.
What's the prophet? He's a third angel. Listen to him carefully. Mark of the beast again. And now, this is the third angel message to the world. And you know that the third angel message is going forth now in this day. the flying of the third angel message. If you're a Bible reader, I want you to notice, in the days of Elijah, it's only Elijah knew God. He's the only one knew God. Every single one, every preacher, every priest, every high priest was all Baal worshippers. And today when our Elijah came, the oneness and Trinity, the entire world was deceived by it.
Amen.
And here he's warning the world, don't worship the beast. Well, what's the beast identification? Trinity. What's the image of the beast identification? Oneness. They protest the Catholic Church. Watch again. The same drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now, you hear Brother Bam said, the mark of the beast is the World Council of Churches. It's that union between a Catholic and a Protestant. Notice, if you put all the serpent seed in the Protestant and the Catholic Church, it means that there is no serpent seed in the message, which means there is no twins. And the prophet of God said, every revival produces
twins.
Watch again now. If you put all that received the mark of the beast or the serpent seed outside in the denomination, if the Protestants and the Catholic, I want to ask you, who can sow seeds of discrepancy? It is only us can sow discrepancy in the method. You've got to have truth before you can have discrepancy. Again, let's go a little further. I'm not a oneness. Notice the prophet is identifying. He said, I'm not a oneness. No, sir. The you Trinity people get away from you. I'm not a oneness. No, sir. I'm not a oneness. Neither a Trinitarian. I believe what the Bible says. Now, it means Trinity is not in the Bible. It means oneness is not in the Bible. Well, if it's not in the Bible, it has no foundation. It has no foundation. Where did it come from? The bottomless pit.
Yes, sir.
That's where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from the bottomless pit.
Exactly.
Again, I don't want to be too harsh, but just give me a chance. If I don't make a case, you wouldn't want to listen to the rest. Right? Right? So I have to make a case that it's worth for you to invest your time to come and listen. Right? I'm just being honest. Right? After all. Remember, Brother Branham was the Elijah today. If he was the Elijah, there must be Baal worship. Creation and creature worship. There must be a Baal priest. A ministry. There must be a Jezebel, which is a Catholic mother. The beast system of the Trinity. The daughters, the image of the beast, the oneness. Okay? So the religion, the Jezebel religion, here of Prophet Christian message, Jezebel religion, or Jezebel worship, is to worship another Jesus.
Yes.
Because the Trinity believes in Jesus. And the oneness believe in Jesus. But since it's not in the Bible, they cannot have the true Jesus.
Yes.
So the Baal of today, the Jesus of today, is their Baal of the Old Testament. Can I hear you?
Amen.
The Trinity Jesus is the Baal of the Old Testament. The oneness Jesus is the Baal of the Old Testament.
Amen.
Because it does not change. So the word Jesus comes into question. What do you have in your mind when you said Lord Jesus? What is in your heart? What is in your mind? What do you understand of who he is? Because that's your altar here. What is he to you? What do you mean when you say Lord Jesus? Because you have these bumper stickers all over saying, Jesus is Lord. What do they have in mind? Because why wouldn't God accept them? Because they're not following the message? So, whatever Elijah against, that is what we are against. That is what we know as Baal, is that right? The source and origin of the Trinity and Oneness doctrine, the prophet says in Revelation series. Now at the Nicaea Council, there come two great decisions. One of them was a triune God, a Trinity. The other one was a one God. And they both came into existence and went in two straight limbs out like that. The Oneness became a Unitarian, just as far wrong as the other one was. So they both went on limbs. But right here reveals the truth. Now he's going to start destroying the doctrines. Jesus could not be his own father. Neither. If he had a father outside of the Holy Ghost conceived him. And he said God was his father. Now he's beginning to destroy it. I'm leaving it there for a little bit because I've come down to it to deal with it a little bit later on. Now, my precious brother, I know this is a tape also. But don't you get excited. Let me say this with godly love. The hour has approached where I can't hold still on these things no more. Too close to the coming, see? Trinitarianism is of the devil. Mm-hmm. I say that, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. Now, what's the key? Look where it come from. It come from Nicaea. But he told me oneness comes from there too. So that must be thus saith the Lord. That's of the devil too.
Glory.
Watch carefully. 1906, the Laodicean rebirth of the oneness doctrine from Nicaea. Note, Jehovah led an exodus from denominational Egypt. As the eagle stirred up her nest. This is Moses now. This is the exodus. Look what they did in the exodus. This is the Laodicean age. They got fat. Listen carefully. As an eagle stirred up her nest, fluttered over her young, spread it abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. Now that was the exodus. He brought them on Moses' wings, the prophet's wings. So the Lord did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, and he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flint rock, butter of the kine, and the milk of the sheep, and the fat of the lambs, and the rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat and the kidney and wheat. So they were fat, they were wealthy, they were prosperous. Now watch carefully. But Jehoshaphat waxed. Jehoshaphat is the spiritual name for Israel. Israel waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abomination provoked him to anger. This is the Exodus class. That's exactly what Jude said. Again, apostolic fathers were not Trinity or Oneness. Deuteronomy. Watch carefully. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. This is the continuation of the Deuteronomy. To gods whom they knew not. To new gods that came newly up. Whom your fathers feared not. What was their fathers? Well, that's a type of our apostolic. Of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Oh, sorry. All right, now, let's look at this. So far as the Trinity theory of being three different gods, that's hedonism. That never was taught in the Bible. There again, if it's not in the Bible, it's on the bottomless pit. It never was taught in the Lion Age. See, it was the see that was, Trinity is not the God that our fathers feared. Paul didn't fear it, Peter didn't fear it, the apostles didn't fear it, just like Jehoshaphat. Again, the prophet of God says, it never was taught in the Lion Age, but it was adopted in the next age, which is Antichrist. And ask anybody you want to, any theologian, that never did come only to the doctrine of the Nicolaitan. There is why it came out with Martin Luther. Trinity came out with Martin Luther. That's why it continued with John Wesley and poured on down into the Pentecostals. In the day the Pentecostals come out, they got the Jesus only group. Now you notice what? He's telling you the rebirth of the oneness came in time, because that's the doctrine that is so close to the real, they deceive the very elect, and that's what happened in the message. Over 90% of the message churches are oneness but don't know it. Watch again. In the day that the Pentecostal come out, and that's 1906, they got the Jesus only group. Now that's wrong again. How can Jesus be his own father? Water baptism now. It was Brother Sidham of the oneness. Many of you people listening to this would say Brother Branham is a oneness. I am not. I think you're both wrong. You're both wrong, but both oneness and Trinity is wrong. That's where you oneness brethren went on one side, Trinitarian went on the other side. But the true message lays in the center of the road. Amen. Elijah teaches that Jesus the Son has a Father, and his Father is God.
Yes.
Jehovah of the old is Jesus of the new. Now, that's a big statement. Everybody believes that's a great statement. But if you don't know, it hasn't been revealed to you, it becomes error. Watch carefully. Now somebody says, Brother Branham is a oneness. No, sir, I'm not a oneness. I do not believe that Jesus could be his own father. I believe Jesus had a father, and that was God.
Yes.
Now there's only one Jehovah. Is that right? There's only one Jehovah. So the Jehovah of the old is Jesus of the new. It's telling you right there, Jehovah took a name called Jesus. And his son also is named Jesus. But we'll get to that.
Yes.
Right? But let's look at this. There is Jesus, and then there is his father. And the prophet says father was his God. Now Brother Branham is destroying the oneness. I'm going to do it this way. This is God. One, let's put some attributes. He's invisible. Two, has any man ever seen him?
No.
No man has seen God at any time, or can see him. Now, if these two, Jesus and the Father, is one like your finger is one, then you saw him. Then you broke every scripture in your Bible. Let's go again. Now, one man told us his first Bible was nature. Is that right? And he told us, the first Bible is nature, you learn the Bible nature. Mm-hmm. And therefore I want to ask you, have you ever seen any animal who is their own father? Have you ever seen? Now God is in creation. If God does not act in line with creation, then something is wrong.
Yeah.
Right? Have you ever seen a dog that was his own father? A cat that was his own father?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen a Chinese who was his own father?
No.
African?
Yes.
Zambian?
Mm.
Togo? Anybody in Togo was their own father? No? Then there's something wrong here. It means it is true. This Jesus, who is the Son of God, has a father.
Mm-hmm.
And his father is God. Right?
Amen.
All right, that's simple enough. All the other quotes will come in. Let's just build on it. Again, Abraham, you got one side of the road over here saying God is one like your finger. He can't be his own father. Got them over here saying he's three different gods. He can't be his own father. Jesus couldn't be one Jesus, one God. There you go. Jesus could not be one Jesus, one God. He is God for many reasons. He is God by the law of revelation, expression, image, species, blood, you name it. There's many different ways he is God, but he is not God like your finger is.
No.
So it's not one Jesus, one God like your finger. He's trying to tell you something. He's trying to introduce the errors that is within oneness. Now, if you've never heard these truths coming up, if you've never heard these truths when you're coming up, it's because you came up under a oneness pastor. And you do not know and will never know because they will never read these quotes to you. This Godhead revelation is called a capstone revelation.
Amen.
Brother Brennan said it's the greatest revelation in the Bible.
Amen.
It is the first full purpose of God under the seven seals. How God was in Christ. Is that right? Now, I want to ask you, honestly, I'm just making a case. Honestly, you who have been in the method over 20 years, who takes a convention and do Godhead? Nobody.
Yes.
Nobody. You mean the capstone revelation? You'll talk about everything else, but you will not talk about the greatest revelation in the Bible. And the preachers don't know it, so they whistle through the graveyard. Listen, it's the truth. I'm a preacher, you know. I'm taking the bad name too. We whistle through the graveyard. We don't want anybody else to know we don't know. After all, how can you preach about God if you don't know Him?
Mm-hmm.
But they do a very good job. Now, Elijah comes in type as the Son of Man. Do you believe that? Elijah comes in type of the Son of Man. So today is the Son of Man, right?
Amen.
So look at the Son of Man 2,000 years ago, and let's look today, and you will see if it is a parallel. Okay? So, I'm going. Here's Jesus. O righteous Father, the world had not known thee. Wait a minute. You mean there was Christ, there were Pharisees, there was the Sanhedrin, there was all of these priests, and Jesus had the audacity to say, Father, the world don't know thee? Well, I'm here to say today, amen, Son of Man returned today in the form of William Branham. And the world did not know God because they could not identify He's an unrecognized presence.
Amen.
Who do you say this is? Who is this Melchizedek? The mighty God on earth. God visited this generation and the world didn't know Him.
Amen.
Same Son of Man. Now, if the world did not know Him when Elijah was here, only Elijah knew his God. The rest did not. Continue. Are we okay?
Amen.
Like all, see? And you oneness brethren, many of you get off the wrong track when you try to think that God is one like your fingers one. He can't be His own Father. He can't. The question is, nature testifies that God testifies of God and His Bible. Can any creation be His own Father? Can a man be His own Father? Well then, they are believing in a myth. Their Trinity and oneness is not in the Bible, it's not in nature, therefore it comes from the bottomless pit, and therefore it's a myth, and it's a fable. You think you can take a rapture believing in a fable, in a Jesus that is a fable, because you're in the message, it exempts you? Let's go. Trinity are exposed by Elijah. Elijah destroyed the Trinity doctrine because a man cannot have two fathers. A man cannot be his own father and a man cannot have two fathers. And a man or any creature cannot give birth to himself. So there's the oneness doctrine destroyed. Look, the prophet. And everlasting life is God and God is the Holy Spirit. Is that right? If God and the Holy Spirit isn't the same person, Jesus had two fathers. Matthew 18:1-18 says that she conceived by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said that God was his Father. If the Holy Spirit and God is not the same, then Jesus had two fathers. Because the Trinity says, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. One person in the Trinity, two persons in the Trinity. The Bible said, the Holy Ghost conceived him. And Jesus said, God was his Father. How many fathers did he have? If this is one person, this is one person. Then a man cannot have two fathers, so the Trinity is false.
And a man cannot be his own father, so the oneness is false. What is Elijah doing? He's destroying the doctrines that come from the bottomless pit. He's destroying Baal worship. Jesus said that God was his father, and the Bible said that the Holy Ghost was his father. So both was the same person. Otherwise, he had two fathers. Watch again. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found a child. God the Father. Does the Bible say that? What does the Bible say? She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Which one of these is his father? The Bible said that this is his father. Jesus said that this was his father. Now, which one is his father? Now, if he had two fathers, now what about it? If he had two fathers, he's an illegitimate child. What? The Holy Ghost? Well, how can the Father be his father and the Holy Ghost be his father at the same time? Now he had two fathers then. If that be right, no sir, the Holy Ghost is God. The Holy Ghost is God. So God and the Holy Ghost is the self same person, or he had two fathers. What is he doing? He's destroying the Trinity. He just destroyed the oneness. Now he's destroying the Trinity. Why? Because this Elijah knows his God.
Amen.
No one else knew God but Elijah of old. No one today know God. In the days of Jesus, Son of Man, he said, the world don't know you, Father. But I know you. Hebrew. Thomas said unto him, Lord, show us the Father. It satisfied him. He said, I've been so long with you and you don't know me. See, when you see me, you see the Father. Why say show us the Father? Now, later on, I'm going to read a quote where Brother Bam said, that is not, when he said, I've been so long with you, you don't know me, that was the Father spoke out. And then the Son said, when you see me, you see the Father. That was the Son speaking. In one sentence, two persons spoke. When Brother Bam said, when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, he said, that wasn't the Son speaking. He said, that was God speaking.
Amen.
When he told a woman at the well, he said, she said, we know when Messiah cometh, he'll tell us these things, because a man doesn't know the secret of the heart. And he said, I am he that speaketh thee. The prophet said, that was God speaking.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. When he said, I am the resurrection and the life, that was the Father speaking.
Amen.
Amen. Because God raised Christ from the dead.
Amen.
I can't hear you.
Amen.
It is God that raised Christ from the dead.
Amen.
Christ couldn't raise himself.
Amen.
Amen.
That's lovely.
See, I'm just dropping that in before we get to it. See, taking my time, but along the way I know questions will come up. Now the oneness took it. The oneness group of people and try to make Father, Son, Holy Ghost just one office, one place, one like your finger. That's wrong. Jesus could not have been his own father. If he was, then he was. How could he have been his own father? And if God is a man separate from the Holy Ghost, he had two fathers. In one statement, he destroyed Trinity and oneness. Everybody okay? Alright, then the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary and she conceived. And the Bible said in Matthew 1:18, that thing which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Then which is his father? The Holy Ghost or God? Both the same spirit, or he had an illegitimate birth of two spirits.
Right.
Again, trying to get them out of the way. Now the oneness teaching of the oneness church, I certainly disagree with them thinking Jesus is one like your fingers one. He had to have a father. If he didn't, how could he be his own father?
Hallelujah.
And if his father was a man like the Trinitarian says, then he was born illegitimate with two fathers. So you see the both arguing. Wrong by arguing. There's only one God. And I disagree with the organization of Pentecost that called the oneness like your finger is one. That's wrong. Absolutely it's wrong. Jesus couldn't have been his own father. You see, if he is one like your finger is one, then what? Then he was his own daddy. How could he have been? That's wrong. He had a father, Jesus did.
Sure.
All right. You had enough? That's an overkill, you know. But I got to kill it because, you know, these are dangerous things. So now the question is, on the other side, nature testifies of God and his Bible. Can any creature have two fathers?
No,
can any man have two fathers?
No.
Then Trinity is wrong. Again now. As Elijah of old, our Elijah is against the oneness Jesus,
Because the Baal of the Old Testament is another Jesus of the New. As Paul stated in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you unto one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind shall be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ." For if he that cometh preacheth what?
Another
Jesus is Baal. Another Jesus is Baal worship. The Trinity Jesus is a Baal worship. And the oneness Jesus is a Baal worship. And when you have a oneness Jesus or a Trinity Jesus, then you can never get the Holy Ghost. Because that's Baal worshippers. Amen. And then your entire gospel is false. It becomes another gospel. Another Jesus is Baal worship. Our Elijah is the third angel, is to restore back the altar and true worship of Jehovah, the Father, of the Son. Revelation 19:10 says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not, for I am of thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, and them that have the testimony of Jesus." Worship God. This is the angel that prophetic spirit is speaking to that John and saying, "Worship God." What do you think that angel is going to tell William Branham? Worship God.
Amen.
Amen. Mark of the beast now. Now you see how it was represented in Ezekiel 9 at Jerusalem. Now come. Revelation 14:6-12. That's the three last angels. Three angels. The first angel, Revelation 14:6-12, the first angel that sounded the trumpet of the gospel had the everlasting gospel to preach all the world. The second angel kind of preached a holiness gospel because he said that the church had committed fornication. And the third angel roared out to escape the mark of the beast. Watch, the first angel at the Reformation, Luther preached the gospel. Second angel, Wesley sanctification, the fornication, he straightened out the church. But the third message, this is Brother Brown saying this. But the third message, a Pentecostal message, should be the true messenger warning them to escape the mark of the beast, saying, "Whosoever received the mark of the beast, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God that's poured without mixture." That's the very message today. The third angel, the third message, the last message. Note Elijah teaches that Jesus the Son has a Father, and his Father is God. Who do you say this is? But they think it's the most wonderful thing in the world that all of us can join hands and be one. Jesus said, Jesus prayed that we might be one. That is true, but not that kind of one. So God and Christ is one, so there are different kinds of one. But they are not numerically one. They are not numerically one like your finger, but they are one. How they are one is what we have to learn. He says here. He said, but not that kind of one. He said, "Be one as I and my Father one." Yea, be that kind of one. Then how will that be? The Word in us would be the anointed Word. That is the oneness of God. See, the oneness of God is the Word anointed in you. I will restore. And then you set and got up a little dogmatic idea of the oneness so called. Then you start on that and begin to harp on it and you make God one like your fingers one. And you know that's wrong. Famaloom. There's one God, there's only one. He is Jehovah God, the great I Am, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. Now, I'm going to start now to make a case for. Okay, so we see the prophet describing Trinity and oneness. We relate that back to Elijah and Baal, Moses and Baal and Baal Peor, the golden calf. Now let's look and see what Elijah does. Elijah is not a Baal worshipper. He is not a Trinity or oneness worshipper. Can you agree with that? And if there's an Elijah today, there has to be an Ahab, right? A Jezebel, her daughters, Baal altars, churches, priests of Baal, worshippers of Baal. Now in Ecclesiastes 3:15 it says, "That which has been is now, and that which is to be had already been. The thing that had been is, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done." So if in the days of Elijah that was done, that is what will be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Now, these are some hard questions, but let's do them. Where are the Baal altars or Baal churches today? We have an Elijah. You told me there's an Elijah. That which was it. Where are the Baal altars? Where are the Baal churches? Where are the Baal priests today? What is Baal worship today? I'm going to give you a hint. There is a Jesus that has a beginning. And there is Jehovah that takes a human name, a family name, Jesus, and he has no beginning.
Yes.
This is Jehovah of the Old, is this Jesus of the New?
Yes.
If you make the one with the beginning the creator, you're making a creature the creator, and you're worshiping the creation above the creator.
Amen.
That is their worship.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Let's go again. Who are the Baal worshippers today? If you cannot answer this question, maybe you can be a Baal priest or a worshipper and not know it. You have to be able to identify them so you can say, I'm not one of them. Again, people serve and worship Satan, Baal, and not know it. Satan's even a prophet. People ignorantly worshiping Satan, thinking they are worshiping God. As we are warned by prophecy in 2 Thessalonians. Can that happen? Can that happen in the message? Can people in the message of the hour under Elijah be oneness and be worshipping the devil in the very message of the hour and not know? You say, Brother Tony, no, that can't be. I want you to know, not, never.
Well, let me give you some statistics, okay? Let me do it for you. The prophet preacher method, 1 in 1,000,000. He said 2 million came out of Egypt in the Exodus. Is that what he said?
Amen.
Now I want to ask you, if it's 1 in 1,000,000 of the 2 million in time, we show it. 2 million came out. Would he say it? So the majority of people in the message does not make it. Otherwise the prophet is telling me a lie. You fear not the Joshua. In the days of Noah, how many made it? How many messages we have now around? They're not making it, friends. Their very foundation is Baal, but they don't know it.
Yes.
So it is only a small number that makes it. And is that the number that said, in the last day they shall know their God?
Amen.
The last day they shall know. Notice the word day. But before there was a day, in the last day there will be Elijah who will know his God.
Amen.
Because from him then they come.
Amen.
Can you be a priest of Baal and not know it?
Yes.
Do you go to a Baal high place to worship?
Yes, sir.
Do you support or go to a Baal church?
Yes.
Everyone here will say, of course, no. Isn't that right? Everyone say, not me, brother. No, it's not me. I'm not. Everyone here will say, of course, no. Everyone will be confident, say, I'm not a Baal priest or worshiper. Everyone here will deny that they go to Baal church. But I ask you, until you come tonight, or you must have heard it from someone who's connected with us, did you know Jesus had a father? And that he was God? And that the Father and the Son have the same name? And that if you don't know which one, you can take the creation and make him the creator and worship Satan and not know it?
Yes.
Because creation worship is Satan worship? Because he is a creature? Now the only way that you can do that is to change the word, the truth, into a lie. And make the Son Like I'm going to tell you, Jesus never healed anybody in his life.
Amen.
Can I help you?
Amen.
This is your prophet teaching. You know, he never healed anybody in his life. It is God that heals through Christ.
Amen.
Because God is invisible, but he has to get somebody seeable, knowable, touchable, tangible, audible. We need to believe. So let's examine ourselves in light and faith, and our faith in the light of the vindicated prophet. The message, prophet said, God of this world today, the worship person in this world today is Satan. Now, you will never say that happens in a message church. You will never say that. People are ignorant of worshiping Satan. But it is Satan impersonating himself as the church. See, as the church. I'm a message church. We preach the prophet. We got the picture. We got this. But if their God head is wrong, they are worshiping the creature and don't know it. You see, they worship Satan thinking that they're worshiping God through the church. But it's the way Satan done it. Now you will say that is denomination, but not in the message. Let's see what the messenger said. Power of transformation. There's always twins. That's the reason. Don't forget this little flock. Now listen to the prophecy. This is 1965. He's still prophesying. The church in the last day is going to be twins.
Uh-huh.
Not as twins. It's going to be twins.
Amen.
So close, they'll deceive the very elect. So Matthew 24:24 is not Pentecost.
Yeah. No.
It is a Pentecostal move and doctrine in the framework of the message.
Yes.
Wow.
So much like the real thing. We are the real thing.
Amen.
Till I'll deceive the very elect if possible. A little later on I'll get a chance. I want to explain how election comes. See, it's going to deceive them. Not they are deceived. It's going to. Because it's almost like the same thing. See, just two fathers. That's all. Same mother, same church, same movement, same thing. The bedding ground is the same. Where the word falls. One of them, like yes, perverted. Alright? Now, so you have the message. You say, Brother Tony, no, that's not true. Okay, listen, Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Here's the prophet. What did they do? Sold out to the reasoning of wisdom and education. Like Eve did. Fallen angels did. Wesley was a man of God, but what followed him? Fallen angels got into it. Every time a message comes, fallen creatures follow it. And then they pervert the doctrine.
Sure.
The Bible said it was fallen angel who listened to Lucifer instead of Christ. Now listen close. Fallen angels. What kind of angels? Lutherans, Wesleyan, Catholics, Pentecostal. What about message? Because he said, what follows every message? Fallen angel. What follows the Son of Man message? What follows Elijah? Fallen angel. Now I want to ask you, how did you end up being a oneness worshipper? How did you end up? Why are you here? If we all say the same thing, you don't need to hear anybody else. Your preacher is saying generally what everybody's preaching. So everybody has to choose. But why are we agreeing here on this? So who were you under that taught you oneness? That never showed you these quotes? That never brought out your concept of what oneness is? A fallen angel got behind it.
Amen.
You said, Brother Tony, no, he's a good man. He just doesn't know. You do not put a man who does not know his business to do business. God cannot call a man that did not reveal himself to him to preach about him. I can't hear you. You do not give a man a mason to do a job who doesn't know anything about masonry. And just say he's a good man, a nice man, a kind man. Would you go to a dentist who's a good man, a kind man, a nice man, but he doesn't know much about dentistry and he opens it, open your mouth? Would you do it? You wouldn't do it, would you? Now listen close. Fallen angel. What kind of angel? Lutherans, Wesleyan, Catholics, Pentecost, who kept not their first estate like the angels in and fell into organization and Lucifer mean hold on Nicaea. So then in the message I want to ask you, is it still true? Fallen angels got after William Branham came in. You say, no, Brother Tony, where did two souls come in? True messengers, preacher. 1963, the coming of the Lord. Didn't they teach you not? 62 was the coming of the Lord?
Yes.
And after the prophet, 63, the prophet still preaching, flashing red light, sign of his coming.
Yes.
The prophet saying, we are looking for the coming of the Lord. Wait a minute.
Yes.
I want to ask you, who preached that? Who preached when the name is already here? Rapture has already happened. Fallen angels got into it. Who taught you oneness? Fallen angels got into it.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Now we know that evil spirits in the disguisement of Christianity and this message change the truth into lies. My L is gone. Into lies. Let me read that again for you. We know that evil spirits, which is demons, for the butler, in the disguisement of Christianity and this message, change the truth into lies. Evil spirits follow the truth and word of God in every age and anoint and use false teachers and apostles to change the word and the meaning of the truth. And we know the truth is the word of God, the message in every age. That's still true. Fallen angels change the truth into a lie, producing false worship. Because you cannot worship God with a lie. You have to worship in spirit and in what?
Truth.
Spirit and truth. Here's what Paul wrote. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. You cannot have false worship until you change the truth, the message into a lie. Changing little things. And worship and serve the creature more than the creator who's blessed forever. Now, you say there's nothing wrong with worshiping this one.
The one with the beginning. Well, how many gods would you have now? You have one who has the beginning,
mm-hmm.
one who is not his own father, he is God too, so who has two gods?
Mm-hmm. Alright, I'm running out of time. What's your Philadelphia? He said, Brother Tony, I don't serve the devil. Here's how easy it is. Philadelphian church age. To believe the devil's lie is to serve Satan. Even though you may want to call him Jehovah, but the elect will not be deceived. We will not believe the lie, but if we believe the lie, then we are worshiping the creature. All he has to do is get you off of the truth. So it would not be certain truth. Because worship cannot be. See, worship cannot have man-made doctrine, man-made creed. Jesus said, in vain do you worship me. Teaching for doctrine the commandment of what?
Amen.
Well, oneness is not in the Bible. So whose doctrine is that? Watch, Paul says, these are your fallen angels. Paul said it that way, Brother Barham interprets it the same way. Paul says, they come as angels of light. What is light? Light is a message of the hour. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming them into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is not no great thing if it ministers. I cannot hear you. There's your fallen angel, fallen Methodist, fallen Baptist, fallen Catholic, fallen message. Two soul is what? What is two soul? No, notice the seven thunder, seven virtue movement. Who got in that? Is seven thunders the seven virtues? Because the thunder is give rapture and faith. Rapture and faith. Faith comes by hearing. The prophet said virtue comes by suffering.
Yes.
I can't hear you. Is that what he said? Character comes by. And then he said, character is not a gift.
Mm-hmm.
He said character is not a gift. It's a victory. But seven thunders, if you catch that revelation, it is a gift because revelation comes from God.
Yes,
yes. What's that? Who got involved in that? The fallen angels. Is it the truth though? Is seven thunders seven virtues?
Yes,
well then, where did that lie come from? How did they change the truth into a lie there then? lost my mouse. Oh, they're changing batteries. Okay. Okay. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers be transformed as ministers of righteousness. Jude says, and I read that, so let us skip that and get to the heart of these things here. So now, the prophet of God said, what is it? He is doing it with fallen angels, fallen Lutherans, fallen Methodists, fallen Pentecostals, had lost their original state from the word of God. That's the message of the hour. And going back to make a great big ecumenical move. Now, I'm going to show you in the message of the hour how this works. Watch how it works. All the 700 people opened their door for 700 people. All the two soul people opened their door for two soul people. There is a gathering for the burning. There's a gathering for the destroying. But there's also a gathering for the bride.
Amen.
It's part of the end times of a gathering to be burnt. Would they open their door for you? No. You? No. How can they? They have to live their two gods. Right? But they will never sit and talk with you because they don't know the subject.
Yes.
They know they don't know it.
Yes.
If they know it, they would have been teaching these people these quotes, but they don't know it. So there is fallen angels that get involved. So if there's fallen Baptist, fallen Methodist, fallen Spirit, is there not fallen message preachers? Well, that's what he did. That is how he does it. That's how he gets you to worship the creature more than the creator. Fallen angels who once stayed with the word but sold out their birthrights and joined in with the world. The same thing. It's at the last day. So now, Elijah comes on the scene and the world is deceived. The great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called devil, Satan, which deceived the world. Now, I just want to ask you, until you heard this, let's just assume that Trinity is false, oneness is false. Let's say 5 years ago, you might not have heard this. Let's just say that, okay? Let's say 5 years ago, you never heard this. Would you have considered yourself a false worshipper? A Baal worshipper? If you're a preacher, would you consider yourself or being under a fallen angel? No, we're safe. We are safe. Because after all, we're in the message. And we have this way that if you are a false preacher and a messenger, you're not as bad as a denominational preacher. But a denominational preacher is an unbeliever. You are a seed of discrepancy. You are a twin.
Yes.
Which one is worse? Which one does more harm to the bride? Denominational or the twin? Who is the greater deceiver and destroyer? Now I want to ask you again. One more. Until you hear this, until you heard this or come in contact with this, would you believe that the message world is deceived? That Satan deceived the whole world, including the majority of the message except the one in a million?
Yes.
Maybe I'm asking it too hard. Let me say this. Until you heard this, would you have believed if I was to say, Satan deceived the majority of people in the message, but you don't know it? You would say, no. You say, nah, brother, you think too much of yourself. Right? But he has. He has. And they just don't know it. You say, Brother Tony, but look at these great men with a great name. They've been so long in the message. Brother Bram said, by the time the second generation comes, black and white port, he said, the message is already corrupted.
Yes.
It is not my generation. Or... I don't want to put my... Let me tell myself about it. It was the first generation. that preached 1962 as the coming of the world. It's the fanatics who took it and went further and said, Mercy come, no communion, no precaution, the Lord's already here. Then that went further. The millennium is already here, the rapture's already happened. But the seed of the error was the first generation that said 62 was the coming. When 62 was not the coming, it was the appearing of the Lord in the fullness of his word. Before that was the appearing of the Lord in power, the first two posts on a hand. I mean, power, and then great glory. You understand? Now, who saw that? And who taught you that 62 was the coming? So just said, we didn't preach two souls. No, that was first generation that did two souls. Who didn't preach polygamy? It was first generation that preached polygamy. You understand?
Mm.
It is not this generation. This generation is inherited. If you come from a one foreign preacher, foreign angel, you are just carrying the error into a greater error for the next generation. Because it's already corrupted. So the longer the preacher is, it's worse off he is, because he's in the first generation of the 2 million that died.
Amen.
But he has hope for some in the second generation on the job.
That's it, my brother.
See, I have to make a case for you. Like Elijah of Old Testament, Elijah restored the true altar. Do you believe that? You believe Elijah came to restore the true altar?
Yes.
Well, then he's telling you oneness is wrong, Trinity is wrong. He did not build another altar. He restored the one of their fathers. Apostolic. The same apostolic worship and God that the fathers had, we are going to have. And restore the true worship of Jehovah. Notice, Baal means Lord. How many know that? The word Baal means Lord. So when they say Lord, you don't know which one they're talking about. That's why when they pray, they say, oh Lord Jesus, Father God. You don't know what's coming out their mouth. Right? But Paul didn't pray like that. Paul said to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
amen.
I thank my God always.
Amen.
Amen. Notice Paul. He knew his God and he wasn't the oneness.
Amen. Glory.
Look at the scripture I read. But to us there's but one God, the Father. Amen. And one Lord Jesus Christ. He never preached two gods. Are we okay? Alright, so now Baal cuts himself and jump up the altar saying, oh Baal, oh Baal, oh Lord, oh Lord. And Elijah said, Lord God, what does he say? Lord God. But his Lord God, he means Elohim. Because that word ending there is Elohim. Of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. You see? Now, the Bible says, we know that ye are Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols, even as ye are led. Therefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit calleth Jesus accursed. And no man can say Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. Because if you got the wrong Jesus calling him Jehovah, if you have the wrong Jesus calling him Jehovah, if you have got another Peter calling him Lord. Peter has always been the enemy of Jehovah. Now you say, Brother Tony, what are you saying? I'm saying the same trick he used by taking Aphrodite and making her Mary. By taking Zeus and making him Paul or Mercury. This, just like he took the heathen gods and put Christian name, he has taken Baal and put his name as Jesus. By putting in the people mind the lie. By changing the truth into a lie, got you to worship the creature more than the creator.
Mm-hmm.
See, you cannot call him Lord except by the true revelation of the Godhead. The Catholic calls him Lord by a wrong revelation. The Protestant oneness call him Lord by a wrong revelation. See, the Lord they mean is really Baal. They just don't know it. All the world in Israel was deceived by Jezebel. by Jezebel religion in the days of Elijah. Baal, they worship Baal. Only 7,000 was not Baal worshippers. And Paul picks it up in the New Testament and says, God did not turn his back on his chosen people. Did you remember reading in the scriptures how Elijah complained to God about the people of Israel? This is Israel. He said, Lord, they've killed your prophets. They destroyed your altars. I'm the only one left. And now they want to kill me. But the Lord said, Elijah, I still have 7,000 who have not bowed their knees to Baal. I want you to note it. They wanted to kill who? Elijah. Why? Because he hated Baal.
Yeah.
Just like we hate the oneness. We cannot help. We hate the oneness Baal. Not the oneness people, but the oneness Baal.
Yeah.
Yes. They hate you because you are a worshiper of the true God.
Yeah.
Okay, let us see what Baal worship is. Can you be in the measure of the hour and be deceived?
Yes.
Is two souls deceived? Is millennium here doctrine deceived? Is the law came in 63 deceived? Can you be in a message, be deceived, and not be born again? Watch Brother Brown define in Baal worship. Not only was ancestral worship originated in Babylon, but also was the worship of nature. It was in Babylon that the gods were identified with the sun and the moon. The chief object of nature was the sun, which was life-giving and heat. Given properties and appear to man as a ball of fire in the heavens. Thus, the chief god would be the sun god, whom they called Baal. Often, the sun depicted as a circle of flame, and soon around the flame appeared a serpent. It wasn't long until the serpent became a symbol of the sun, and the subsequently worshipped. Thus, the desire of Satan's heart became fulfilled. He was worshipped as God. And when you worship Jesus, the Son of God, as God, like your finger is one, then Satan is worship.
Yes.
Because he just got you to worship the creature. His throne was established. His slaves bowed to him. There is a Pergamos in the form of a serpent. He was worshipped. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, now symbolized in the form of a living serpent, had not only seduced Eve, but the majority of mankind. How about today? The prophet says in the fourth seal, can you be in the midst of the hour and be an idol worshipper? I wonder. Here he says. Now remember, the Bible says that in the last days that the Antichrist would deceive the whole world. There'd be a small number of whose names were put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Are you there? So in the message of the hour, there are people whose names are not on the Lamb's Book of Life. That's why they remain Baal worshippers. Nothing you can do about it. They love it. He said, but when the true vindication of the real truth of God would strike the heart, he would strike the water and out yonder with the Holy Ghost as hard as he can. You can't stop him from doing it. Once you see the truth, like we're going to do water baptism in the next few, I'm taking it like the beginning now, we're going through it. Once it hits you, you can't stay. There's no way you can do it. Now, I want you to watch this very carefully. Brother Branham had a Moses ministry and Elijah ministry. He had a Joshua ministry too. Both Moses and Elijah had to destroy Baal worship. Remember, notice how the scripture is written. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgment. Now what happened in Horeb? I'll go back to Deuteronomy 3 and show you how in Horeb God is reminded them, remember what I did in Baal Peor, how I destroyed them? Then Horeb, watch again. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. What happened to Elijah the prophet? He came against Baal. These two scriptures are connected. Moses and Elijah is both connected with Baal worshippers in the day that they came.
Yes.
Elijah knew his God. Our Elijah, Brother Bill, knew his God. Moses knew his God. Our Moses knew his God. Also, the elect bride in these last days will know their God. Alright? And of course, Daniel speaks about they will know their God and do great exploits, speaking of this time. Brother Bram says, in Acts of the Apostles, he said, that scripture is speaking of this time. Can you be in a priesthood and not know their God in the Old Testament? And the sons of Levi were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Paul said, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. See, you could be in a message and not know God. Right? Watch carefully, 2 Peter, talking about the Exodus class. But there were false prophets also among the people, even there shall be false teachers among you. There's your false anointed ones. They're right among you. Among you meaning the message of Yahweh.
Yes.
So close to the deceived event. Came in there, unrecognized, unawares. You see? Who privately shall bring in damnable heresy, denying the Lord that brought them out. Now, who is the Lord that brought you out in the Exodus? What's Jehovah God? Jehovah of the old, which is Jesus of the old. He led the Exodus to pillar of fire.
Mm.
Not him. He did not lead the Exodus.
Yes, that's
right. They deny him. And they said, what did they do? They said, there's the golden calf. Israel, behold your God that delivered you from Egypt. They were seeing Baal. This is like they're seeing, this is the one that healed you. This is the one that is God, like your finger. He's the one. He will not share his glory, not even with him.
No, oh yes.
That's why Jesus kept saying, it's not I, it's my Father. It's not I, it's my Father. It's not I do the work, it's my Father. And the people in the message say, no, you lie, you did it. Oh, you just played a role. Let me tell you about the rules. You want to hear about the rules? They say, it's one like your finger. Watch carefully. Jesus, why are you think of playing rules? Let's talk about the rules. Alright? So he's on the cross crying, my God, why have thou forsaken me, liar? How could God forsake you? You're God. Okay, no, let's see. God left him against him. How could God leave him when he's God? Oh. Let's play a rule. Anything my God can do, I can do. Because he is my example. To be like Christ, to be like God. Is that right? Say nothing. Ask me for some money. Ask me for some money. Anyway. What have I done, my God? Ask me for some money. Tell her that. Ask me for some money, brother.
Ask me.
Come ask for some money. I have it, but no. Now, I say no to him. Now, he knows I've got 500 rand. He comes and says, well, Tony, you're a Christian. Why did I ask you 500 rand? You have it in your pocket. He said, no. I said, no. You see, when I was with him, I was playing a role of a poor man. But now, I'm playing a role of a rich man. Okay, let me lie. My God plays role. I can play it too. No problem. I can play rules. See, you can play your own rules. And I can go on and on with those rules, but they're tricky. You know? Yeah. All right, now. Everybody happy? Now. Okay, now. Let us. I'm closing with this one more. That's number one. Let's look for number two. I've got 20 minutes, or 30 minutes, I think. So let's see what I can do. Number two. He's not a oneness. You agree? Can you see this? So he's not a oneness. So what is he? He's not a oneness. What is he doing? Writing his first Bible. Notice human beings who want to look towards the heavens. And he put all the stars in the heavens, the zodiac, starting off with the Virgin, ending up with the New Year's Lion, the first coming of Christ, the second. Now who wrote the first coming of Christ and the second? Christ? Oh God. Who wrote the first Bible? Okay. Good. Came my virgin. Also came the Lion of the tribe of Judah. There he puts the first Bible. Who puts the first Bible there? Okay. Now, on back in those ancient days, they looked at those things. Today he's got the Bible wrote here. But he wrote it in the heavens that man would look up and realize that Jehovah the Creator lived above. And then I can see him. He looked. I can see him speak this word, hanging as an icicle, whatever it was, way away. He moved it over here. I can see this little light door. Now we've got two now. Now we've got, how many?
Two.
The Father, out of the Father came came the light, the
Son.
How many you got?
Two.
How many gods?
One.
Thank you.
Let's read. You want to hear what Elijah said? He got all those things together and made all the other things, all the animals, birds, bees, monkeys, whatever it was, put them in all of it. And then he asked the question now, let us, the prophet said, who? Then he answers, Father and Son, make man in our image. Is there a father and is there a son?
Yes.
Or is he his own father and they are one like your finger?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. Questions and answers again. Well, if you know this close in Genesis 1:26, let's get the first part. God said, let us. Now, let us is, let us make man in our image. Of course, we realize he's talking to someone. He was speaking to another
being. I can't hear you.
Or was he speaking to himself? Now, is there a father or son?
Yes.
Is there a father and a son?
Yes, son.
There is a father and a son, isn't it?
Yes.
Right? Now, here's the Bible. Who is a liar but he that denied that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist and denied the Father and the
Son.
No. There is no Antichrist in this message. This message, everybody will take a rapture because they love the prophet, they live right, the wife is right, the house is in line, and everything is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Two souls is the same way, polygamy is the same way, you know, the future of the Lord has come, everything is just right.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody's Antichrist. But this is the greatest Antichrist identification,
mm-hmm.
is to deny the Son of God,
mm-hmm.
and take the Son and make him the Creator. It's like taking these objects of the Roman gods and making him like Paul and making Paul like him and Peter like him. It's the same thing. You're doing this, the same Catholic spirit.
Yes. Amen.
Same Mother Howard spirit.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Taking a holy person. Making himself. Whosoever denied the Son, the same have not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son have the Father also. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that know not it of the truth. All men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son, honoreth not the Father.
Amen.
Which hath sent him. You know you can't send yourself, you know. There is only one God, and we worship that God, that's all. Hear, O Israel, Jehovah, our Elohim is one Jehovah. There is only one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There is a man Christ Jesus and there is a God Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Who is the mover of the
earth.
Once again. Call no man father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. How many fathers are there? And is Jesus Father your Father?
No.
Because the Father said he had a Father.
Yes.
If his Father is your Father, then you are, there is a Jesus who is your brother.
Amen.
And there is a Jesus who is your Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Look, Jesus come to manifest the Father. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not ascended unto my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I am sent unto my Father, your Father, my God and one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to us there is but one God and Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus. I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is a man. And the head of Christ is who?
God.
My goodness. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was not a oneness. Matthew 17:5. You may go on a liar if you say he doesn't have a son. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed him, and a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear he, him. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, have a God. Lord Jesus Christ, have a God.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul wrote. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. Can all of these be wrong? That we may be one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, now is my soul troubled. Now what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Who can save? Who can deliver? Who can raise from the dead? Amen. And they went a little further and fell on their face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but as thou wilt." And he went again a second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, this cup pass away from me, except I drink it. Thy will be done." And they lifted up their eye, and they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted her eye and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou art with me. Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and that he shall presently give more than 12 legions of angels?" Who does the angel belong to? "But on a day that no one knoweth, no man, not in the angels of heaven, but only my Father." Who is the only one who is omniscient? The Father. "Thy alms may be in secret, and my Father with feet in secret shall reward thee." Who is the one who knows the secrets of the heart? "And when thou prayest, intend the closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray unto who? And the Father with feet in secret. For your Father knoweth what things he hath need before you ask." Who is omniscient? Who knows the secret of the heart? "And but unto the Father which is in secret, and the Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly." Amen. I think I did enough, right? All right.
Okay, quickly. Number 3.
The scripture says, "It is written in the law and the testimony that two men, the witness testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself. My Father has sent me bear witness of me. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin or any sin that he sinned. And the mouth of two witnesses or the mouth of three witnesses shall any matter be established." Now I want to just tell you something.
They say we can play roles, okay? I'm playing a role.
Let's say I see you stole from this, kill this man.
Don't do it now.
Kill this man. Now, I thought, I'm eyewitness. Call me up. What's your name?
Tony Burla.
What did you see? I saw. Who are you?
Oh, I'm Tony Burla.
I saw this man, kill this man.
Yeah.
What time? This time. What did he use?
Use this.
Good. Thank you. Sit down. Is there any more witnesses?
Yes.
What's your name?
Tony Burla.
What did you hear before?
Yes, but I witnessed as a father. Now I want to witness as a son.
They say, "Get out of here, you need to work on." They will think I'm stupid.
But, you know, people believe stupid things. I don't know how many of them believe like that. But I think the majority of them, you know. That's weird.
Alright, now, let's just jump to the heart of the matter. This is Jesus' own word. Anyone knows that two is a witness, three is a confirmation. The Jews said unto Jesus, "We know that you're a demon, because you speak of yourself. It takes two to make a witness." Jesus said, "I am one, and the Father that dwelleth in me is thee." I can't read that word. Is the what?
Other.
Other what? Yeah. So that makes a confirmation of how many?
Two.
Wow. I thought he was one like your fingers one. Wow, oh my goodness. Let's read again. Say three is a witness, get three. He said, "If you can't believe me, believe the works that I do." They said, "Your word is wrong. You testify yourself." He said, "Two is a witness. I am one witness, and my Father that is with me is the other." I can't hear that word. It's the what?
Other.
Other means another one. Oh. He does the work. So he wasn't alone. You know, if I even play father and son role, I'm still alone. You know that, right? Oh. Three is a witness. And in the 5th chapter, the 36th verse, God speaking of his son, first vindicating his claim. Next, John speaking of him. Now, the son speaks of himself, the 36th chapter. "But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which your Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." There's three witnesses.
That one, two, three. That's three, right?
Spirit is there. John speaking, God speaking of him, and he speaking of himself. Three witnesses that he was sent of God to fulfill the works of God. Now, watch carefully. You know, he said, well, no, God can't speak. Okay, all right. God can talk. Do you believe God can talk? He talked to Moses on a mount in a burning bush. You believe that? Yes, sir. He talked to John in the form of a dove. This is my son, in whom I well pleased to dwell. He spoke to Jesus. Wait, Jesus speaking himself? I thought Jesus was God. These messages really confuse me, huh? I'll tell you. He says, yes. So, he says, he spoke to Jesus on Transfiguration before Peter, James, and John. He can talk. He's not new. God can talk. So he spoke to Jesus on Mount Transfiguration. He spoke to Jesus before a whole multitude of people when the people said it thundered, but it was God speaking to Jesus. John 5 and 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which has testified about his Son. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believes not that God, the record God gave of himself. When you say that he is not the Son, he is God. The Son and the Father is one being. You make God a liar. Because God said, this is my Son. You make God a liar. Look how many preachers and messages have made God a liar. They are liars.
Yes.
If I bear witness myself, my witness is not true. There's another that bears witness of me. And I know that the witness that which he witnessed of me is true. And the Father himself which has sent me has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Quickly. Are we getting somewhere? So you say, Pastor, what is the thing? Okay, you told us what we have wrong. What is the right thing? What did Brother Branham teach? Well, I'll tell you what the Bible teaches. I'll tell you what the prophet teach. You might like it, but we'll tell you, okay? John 17 and 3. This is eternal life. That they might know the only true God, and Jesus Christ is our sent. You believe that scripture?
Amen.
But the Jehovah is the true God. So how many Jehovahs are there? One. Then that one is the true God. Because that's the one he prayed to. That's the one who said he could deliver him. That's the one who asked him, he asked to deliver him his soul. That's the one he can. But Jehovah is the true Elohim. That's how that scripture reads. Jehovah is the true Elohim. He is the living God. That means he was never dead. And an everlasting king. And his wrath, the earth shall tremble and the nation shall be able to abide. The true fivefold ministry under our prophet messenger must meditate upon the message and doctrine to keep our people away from their worship. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that they may profit, may appear to all. Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee.
True.
Alright, now I don't have time to do the rest of it, but let's just read. This is what Brother Branham taught. If you don't believe this, you are not a believer in Elijah. I believe there's a true God, and now for my personal Savior, I accept Jesus Christ, his Son, as my personal Savior. That's what he believes. And the Mohammedans today believe in one true God. And they say, there's one true and living God, and Muhammad is his prophet. We say there's one true and living God, and Jesus is his Son. That's the difference. And they are worshippers of one true God. They are children of Abraham through another wife. And they believe that there is one true God. How many times I've seen a Mohammedan priest hit the ground like that and scream, there's one true and living God, and Muhammad is his prophet. We say there's one true and living God, and Jesus is his Son. And they say, far be it from God having a son. The Mohammedans, like the Jews, like the oneness in the message, deny that God has a son. The oneness in the message believe that God is the Son. So they are just like the Mohammedans, they are just like the Jews. The rabbi told Brother Branham, far be it from God having a son. The Muslims say, far be it from God having a son. And what's the people the message? They say, no, that's just a role. That's an office. He don't have a son. That is God. It's the same lie. But if you deny the Father and the Son, you're Antichrist. They deny that God had a son. In the message, they believe that God gave birth to God. God gave birth to himself because Jesus is God himself like your finger. That's what they believe. Now, here's the prophet. In 1963, okay? Bless all the groups. Bless the oneness. And all the different little groups, Lord, that got their different ideas, the Trinitarian, and the ones that believe that God is two and God is three. And God is whatever they believe. God, let them know that there is one true God. Jesus Christ is his son.
Amen.
That's how you destroy your enemies. And granted that they'll be able to understand these things, that we don't have no four or five gods. We have one God in three offices, the same God in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's in it. He's in them. Mm-hmm. One God. See, may the revelation dawn upon them, Lord, today. I'll read two more for them. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful tonight to assemble ourselves together and have an opportunity to speak to you and to sing our hymns and express to you the very adoration of our heart. We love you and worship thee. And thou art the only true God, Jesus Christ, your Son, who died that we might reconcile the God to the washing of the blood. Missionary talk. She said, I believe you can help me. I said, why didn't you go to your priest? She said, I believe you can help me. Oh, I said, I don't know you, but if the Lord God who raised his son from the dead, she said, I believe in the Lord God. Sure she does. They're Ishmaelites, you know. She said, I believe in the Lord God Jehovah. But she said, we have taught Muhammad is his prophet. I said, Jesus is the son and Muhammad is his grave. The Muhammadans are Ishmael children. We know that they believe in the same God we do. But they believe that Muhammad is his prophet. We believe that one true and living God and Jesus is the son. Jesus is the son of God. Alright, now, I've read many of them. Do you understand the truth of what he's teaching us? Yeah, we believe in the one true and living God and Jesus is the son all the way through. Alright, now, I have time for one more. So let's do it. Number five. I want to use all the time as I can, and I told you I'm going to quit at, 9:30? So what is the definition of a true God? What is Brother Elijah teaching us? This is how you identify your true God. The mighty God, 1964, unveiled before us. In the beginning, he was an evil God. Now, I want you to watch the prophet here. He's defining how you identify God. Now, our English word today, God means an object of worship. How confusing it is to the mind. You can make somebody a God. You can make anything a God. He doesn't like the English or the Greek view of God, but he likes the Hebrew view. But in the Old Testament, in Genesis 1, in the beginning, the word is used Elohim. Elohim means the self-existing one. What a difference the word Elohim is to our word God. Elohim means the self-existent one. We cannot be self-existent. We cannot be almighty. So how many? So be self-existent means that you exist alone without anybody or anything. Now, do you think the Son of God is eternal Son? Do you think he's an eternal Son?
No.
He has to come from a source?
Yes.
But then how can he be self-existent? There's only one who is self-existent that all things must come from.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Father of life, he's not of life, he's Father of spirit, he's the Father of all.
Mm-hmm.
He's the source of all.
Mm-hmm.
He is the true Logos.
Yeah.
See? So, how do you tell? Well, if anything has a beginning, anything that has a beginning cannot be Elohim. That's why he cannot be his own father. He had a father. Because there's only one who never had a father, and that's Melchizedek. Melchizedek had no father, no mother, no beginning days, no end of life.
That's right, that's right.
I can't hear you. But Jesus had beginning and days.
Yes. Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Therefore, he's telling you right there the definition of how you define God. This is the mighty God unveiled. This is after the seals are open. He's giving us the tools we need.
Yes.
Close, say lights off. What a different the word ever means to all of these words. Elohim means self-existent one. We cannot be self-existent. We cannot be almighty. Elohim expresses all of that. We cannot be that. The tree that you make a god out of, a building, it's not self-existent. You see, now, what is what a prophet says? No, he's telling you that this one here, I cut the quote, but it says that he is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. Now, if you notice, the omnipotent one is the one in the first four, because he can heal all diseases. Mm-hmm. The second four is the omniscient one, or ever-present one, because he can tell you past, present, and future, and he knows your heart and all the secrets. Mm-hmm. So this is the one that was standing with William Branham, the creator himself.
Yes.
The true and living God was, and note the type of the message, the mighty God on here before us.
Amen.
Now, anything that has a beginning has an end, because anything that has a beginning is a creation.
Yes.
Now, the Son of God has a beginning. Then he's a creation. There's a Jesus who is a creation. What's the prophet? But God was not created. He was always God. There's no place he was created. It's the Holy Ghost who created himself, God the Father, in the form of a spirit called the Holy Spirit, because it was upon the body called Jesus, his Son, that he created Jesus, the body. That's the reason it had to die. The Son was created. Watch again. We believe, we went into it last Wednesday, we pictured God as Elohim and showed that he was self-existent. But inside of him was Father, inside of him was Miracle, the Savior, Healer. That's all in God, and God was self-existent. But being that he was a Savior, he was a Father, he didn't have an angel, he didn't have nothing. He wasn't nothing but himself. He was self-existent, nothing else self-existent but God. But being that he was God, then there must be something to worship him, because he loved worship, and his own being created creatures to worship him. But then, because that he was God, he made angels, and angels worship him. Angels still worship him, while the angels stand in the presence of God and carried over their two wings, holy, holy, holy. That's the scripture. They worship him. Now that created something to worship him. Jesus, at the beginning, was not in eternity, but was the firstborn and had fellowship with God in the beginning. And hear what he says. Jesus existed before with the Father, but not in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Hear what he says. There was a time that you knew your mind is darkened to now. There's been only one man on earth that knew that he was before, and that was Jesus. He said, glorify me, Father, with the glory I had with thee before the foundation of the world. See, he was the firstborn of many creatures. So he existed with the Father, but after the beginning.
Yes.
See? Now, God gave himself birth to this Son, which was before there was an atom in the air, and to make an atom. You see? See, Jesus said, glorify me with the glory that we had before the foundation of the world. See, way back yonder. See, so it all comes by Spirit, but Jesus was virgin born in order to tabernacle the Holy Spirit of God, first to manifest himself to the people and give his life in willing sacrifice, that through his righteousness, we unrighteous people might have a right to come into a fellowship he had with the Father before the foundation of the world. So he came, Jesus was born before the foundation of the earth was placed. I will do one more scripture here for you. But he was not the self-existent one, even though he existed after the first of the beginning of the creation. You might notice. Let's read it. Jehovah possessed me. Who is the me? In the beginning of his way, before the works of old, before he ever started creating anything, even angels. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, over the earth, or ever the earth was. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. That's before the foundation of the world, you see. When there was no foundation, abounding with water. So he's before the foundation of the world, but not in eternity. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While he yet had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea his decree and the water shall not pass his commandment, when he appointed a fountain there, then I was by him as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable parts of the earth, and his delight were the sons of men. Notice right there, it's two different things we're talking about. We're talking about before the earth, the foundation of the earth, and then after the foundation of the earth, there was a Garden of Eden before it was destroyed, and then we came into the seventh-day creation, which was, you know, the earth was without form and void. The prophet taught you that, right? So, there it is. Now, friends, I'm going to keep my word. We have tomorrow... we've covered five of the topics, which is just the fundamentals. Tomorrow, we are going to use number six. Jesus have beginning. And anything have beginning cannot be Jehovah. And then we're going to do the Father and the Son have the same name. Then Jesus is made Lord in Christ. Why is he made Lord? Five reasons he's made Lord. Alright? And I don't have it on this side of the notes, but we are going to pick up why he's made Lord and why he's made Christ. Then from there we are going to go into no man called Jesus Lord, but by the Holy Ghost why? And from there we'll go into water baptism, the right formula, and so on and so forth. So we have a lot of work to do. Eat up your wheaties in the morning. And if these things cause you indigestion, don't come tomorrow. Because you'll just probably have heartburn then. Right? But if you believe that this is William Branham speaking, everything that we're saying is from his quotes, then come up, pray up, and God can do anything for us. Amen?
Yes, sir.
God bless you. God keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you. Give you much grace. Brother.